points I want to make before I get started is you've been hearing the words evidence-based. Some of you have understood what that means, and some of you may be still wondering. That terminology is beginning to be represented by a body of evidence that has been examined in total. That is, in almost everything we do, we have recommendations and conclusions come by one scientist and then another, and sometimes we change our lifestyle or whatever we're doing based upon one study, and next thing you know, that's not true, and we don't know where to go. And people come to me who don't know much, and they say, I don't know what to do. I hear yes and no, and so what has happened is there's a movement where I don't know whether it's led by the Cochrane Group or not, but the Cochrane Group is made of a number of scientists, physicians, et cetera, who have been setting the bar in terms of what does evidence-based mean. And what it means is that you gather the information about a specific subject and begin to look at all of the data that is currently published. And the question is, what string of truth results in all of them? And what you see in all of the studies, is it strong? Is it weak? Is it non-existent? The American Dietetic Association has been doing that, and I have done a little bit. I need to do more. But I was given an article to look at and look at the strengths of the study. How was the study compiled? Do they tell us anything about those that dropped out? What happened? What kind of statistics did they use? And that kind of thing. Well, when they come up with the bottom line, the bottom line kind of tells you where the evidence of all of the studies are. Now, that's what we are talking about when we say the evidence is there. A lot of times you will see one researcher or one writer publish something, and we don't know really whether it's true or not, because we don't have anybody to corroborate. As one of the fellows said, they look for, the first one is kind of an idea, tuck it back in your brain. The second time, that may substantiate it a little bit more, but what you want is corroboration by somebody else. If the same person does it, and the same person publishes the same thing, that is not evidence. That is their opinion. It may be based on some evidence, but if it's not corroborated by somebody else, then we don't know that it really is true. Okay, with that in mind, and with some settling, well, let's go on and talk about some of the nutrients of concern, especially for vegetarians. You have heard a few of them. We have talked about calcium, about vitamin B12 have been addressed in here. Now, I believe the stories may change a little bit, and I'll tell you about that. I want to focus in on two, although I'd love to focus in on all of them. The middle two, vitamin D and omega-3 fatty acids, I think those have some really powerful questions. Not quite enough evidence yet, but about powerful questions and provocative. Iron, you heard about, especially for children. I was shocked when I heard that iron deficiency during the first 2 years of life, more than 2 months, can cause permanent brain damage for life. That's not nice. Choline, I think, is the unrecognized essential that's coming up in the literature. Soluble fiber we've known for some time, but a lot of people are not getting it. Magnesium. There's a lot of people who are saying, well, my leg cramps are not responding to calcium. Could it be potassium or magnesium? And it could be. Folic acid, you've heard a lot about that. So let me move on. I tried to put together some sort of a chart that indicated whether or not these nutrients were of real essential to the various groups, the adult, vegetarian, vegan, pregnant, and infant. You'll notice all of them are related to the pregnant woman. She needs to have them all. Infants do not need all of the soluble fiber and magnesium yet. But you'll notice that everyone needs to know something about B12. Everyone needs D. Everyone needs calcium. And choline seems to be a big issue for the pregnant, lactating, and infant. Calcium, I'm just going to simply say that calcium is needed for more than bones. And for those of you who are black, what you will find is you may not need calcium for your bones, but you probably need it for your blood pressure. Because calcium is also involved in nerve conductivity and muscle contraction. And a lot of times we find calcium may help with that relief. Now, you find it in a variety of foods. We have focused a lot on the dairy group because that's the one with the major amount of calcium. However, there are some in the other foods, as I've mentioned. The deficiency, you may end up with, thank you, because you're getting, okay. The deficiency, you may end up with the body not having the proper signals going back and forth. Some of you may get, and I mentioned this before, I think, some of you may get cramps in the back of your legs in the middle of the night. And if you do, I suggest that you try a calcium tablet before you go to bed. Usually, that's a calcium problem, where your bones need calcium, and it's a nocturnal mineral. It works best at night, coming out of the bloodstream into the bones. And then when you wake, you get the parathyroid gland going. It sends up parathormone. It pulls the calcium out of the bones and puts it back in the bloodstream to cause the muscle to relax. If that is relieved by the calcium, then you've got that you may have the answer. If it's not, it may be a potassium or magnesium. Those are the other two that are often mentioned for tetany. It's impossible to get too much calcium. Your body just won't absorb it. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is absorption, and that's what this chart is. This was done by Dr. Weaver at Purdue, along with some extrapolation that was done by one of my friends. And what she was looking at was the absorbability. Now, this is some really intense study that Connie Weaver did at Purdue, where she was looking at the absorbability of calcium. And even though turnip greens about a half a cup have 104 grams of calcium, milligrams of calcium, its estimated absorption is only 52%, which in the bottom line gives you 54 milligrams of absorbed calcium. All right? So even though they're high in calcium, that doesn't necessarily mean the absorption is up there. She did this by radio tracer technique. When you get down to almonds, and I have heard people say, I had my 8 almonds today, I've eaten all I need of calcium, I got it all. Well, what you have is about 73 grams of calcium, and of which you have 206 milligrams. The absorption, however, is only about 21%, and that gives you 43 milligrams absorbed. And so you would need to eat 2 1/3 cup of almonds to equal the calcium that you get in a cup of milk. Now, that's about 800 calories, and I don't know if you can stand that many at one time. A whole day's supply would be all the calories you can have. Now, there's one caveat to this, and I asked Pat Johnson yesterday about this. Now that we have discovered something about vitamin D and the level of vitamin D that's needed in the bloodstream in order to get the best calcium absorption, do you think these will hold up? We don't know. So this is a piece that I think you should be aware of, and be aware that there is less calcium in some of the foods, and the absorption may still be the same, but let me show you one other thing now that, by the way, if you're going to take supplements, you should think in terms of One supplement in the morning, one in the at nighttime, and don't use anything that comes from shells or coral or bones. Some people think coral calcium is all in all, and it is not. All of you over the age of 50, women should have, especially should have bone density tests. You cannot tell whether or not you are calcium deficient unless you have a density test. That's the only way. When I went to the Philippines, they said, we don't have osteoporosis. Nobody has osteoporosis. I said, well, how do you know that? Well, our blood test is always right. And that doesn't tell you, because your blood test is always right. If your blood calcium ever gets out of norm, that's a big flag for your physician. Because your body has God has put these backup systems, so you have so much in your bones that it is the backup for their calcium. And you cannot tell. I had a young lady, actually a pastor's wife, small, white, Asian women. White and Asian women are the most at risk. Black are generally not at risk for osteoporosis, unless you've had chemotherapy. But small white women usually are. Well, she was small, white, about 40 years of age, and usually we don't start doing bone density until they're older. It took her 2 or 3 years to get the conference, excuse me, to get the insurance agent to agree to pay for the bone density scan. When she finally did get it, as soon as it was read, her doctor called and said, it's emergency, come to the office today. Well, all they did was give her a prescription for Fosamax. She did have osteoporosis at an advanced stage at her young age. All right, let's go on to vitamin D, and I'd love to spend a whole day talking about D. D is the natural vitamin from the sun. One of the things we're finding is that people have not been in the sun, especially in the United States. We have been out of the sun for probably 50 years since we started air conditioning. And in our country, unfortunately, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, our children did not have recess. They did not go outside for recess. They did not get exercise. They did not get sun. When they go home, their mothers or fathers were not there, so they had to stay indoors because they might get abducted. So they did not get exercise. They did not get sun. What did they do? Poor kids, what are they supposed to do? You know, finally, we as adults gave them the Wii. If any of you don't know what the Wii is, that's a computer game where you stand on a pad and you go like this and you watch it on the screen. You get a little exercise. We adults are to blame. Because when mama and dad come home, they're too tired, they don't want to take their children out to exercise. That you can tell that's a hot spot for me. Because we have blamed kids so much for eating snack food and watching TV. What else are they supposed to do? What we have found is that when the sun touches the skin, especially as it touches the skin, it needs to have nothing between the sun ray and the skin. No clothing, no clouds, no sunscreen, anything. The sun touches and penetrates down to the layer of the cholesterol and changes the cholesterol. Now, for those of you of dark skin, it takes longer to do this than the light skin. And because it has to go through the melanin. And the darker you are, the longer it takes. Now, for the literature says so far that a young white person, 50% of the body exposed in the middle of the day, can make 10 to 20,000 IUs of vitamin D in about 12 minutes. After that, you get burned. So those of you of white skin, you've got to make sure that if you're going to do this, you do it, and the same ray that causes that change also can cause burn. So I tell people, if you want to do it that way, then you go out, you spend a little bit of time in the sun, then you put on your sunscreen. okay? That's one of the reasons why the dermatologists and the oncologists are not happy with some of the things I say. Those of you who have dark skin, it may take 10 times as long. And that's a long time. Most of the people I've talked to have said, I'm not going to stay out in the sun that long. That's too long. I get too hot. So the next question is, how are you going to get your vitamin D? Well, the only other way we in the United States have been getting it is fortified food, and that mainly is milk. And when we are not drinking milk because we're lactose intolerant or don't want to, then we haven't been getting it. And I would challenge all of you to go back to your family physician and ask for a blood test of your vitamin D level. You will be shocked when you see it. I have talked to several people, thought, nah, I'm in the sun enough. Even Story told me I'm fine. He went and had it done, and it was low. All right? So that's the main source is the sun on the skin. Once that cholesterol is irradiated, then it migrates to the liver, and within 24 hours, it becomes the calcidiol. This is a hormone, a pre-hormone. So vitamin D is not a vitamin at all. It's a hormone. And so I get, you know, is a dietitian supposed to talk about this or a medical doctor? We haven't really set those parameters. But this is a vitamin D2. From vitamin D2, then that goes to the kidneys for activation to become the hormone calcitriol. We used to think 100% of it went to the kidneys. That was the understanding until about 7 years ago. We thought all of the vitamin D was needed for bones. Now we know only 15% is needed for bones. Have I got it there? No, I don't. No, I didn't do it. Only 15% is needed for bones, and the other 85% is used for all of the other cells of the body. What we've looked for is vitamin D receptors, and it turns out that almost every cell in the body has a vitamin D receptor. And so what we see is this too circulating around to the body in all of the cells and slipping into the vitamin D receptor and waiting until it's needed. Now what, or being used right away. Some of the things it does are very similar to what Dr. Craig told you about the phytochemicals. It helps keep the cell doing what it's supposed to. It prevents proliferation. It enhances apoptosis, that is the programmed death of the cell. But one of the most exciting things for me that I learned about is a deficiency gives you immunocompromise. One of the most exciting things was the finding that this too slips into the macrophage of the immune system, usually the innate immune system, but both of them, both the innate and the acquired. And what happens is the macrophage activates the vitamin D to make it the calcitriol. It then turns around and activates the macrophage to produce the natural antibiotic called cathelicidin. And cathelicidin appears to be the one that, and that whole group, we're still researching that, the group of antibiotics, natural antibiotics, and probably the one that helped kill the TB bug back in the 1940s and 50s when we did not have antibiotics. Those of you from the United States may remember the story of how people had to go to a sanitarium. While they were there, they sat in the sun and got well. One of the suggestions then is we need to have enough vitamin D. The recommendation will probably become 2,000 IUs. The Institute of Medicine in the United States and FDA have been petitioned to change the RDA from 400, which is the amount you found in a teaspoon of cod liver oil 100 years ago and is not evidence-based, to 2,000 IU, which is probably the minimum that all of us need. And then the upper limit will probably become 10,000, because I told you that if you were to be in the sun for 10 minutes, 10 to 20,000, it makes sense. Right now it is at 2,000, which is based upon six people in India. And those six people really were never measured for their blood level. Those are the ones that the data in the nutrition textbook is based on. If you read a nutrition textbook in the past years, it said you'll get overdosed at 2,000, so don't go above that. We haven't seen a real overdose except for very high levels. The one that I have seen documented was a man that had multiple sclerosis and he was self-medicating. He got up to 88,000 a day for 4 years and finally got hypercalcemia. That's the only overdose symptom we have seen. So what I often suggest is that you can't overdose at less than 30,000 a day. We know you can do more than that, but 30,000 is usually where I put it. Now, there's one other point I want to make. If you get a vitamin D supplement, and this is probably the easiest way to do it, I buy this over the internet, so those of you that can have internet access can get it. It is a soft gel. That's what I look for because it's fat soluble. And it is a small, you want to pass that around. You can open it up and look at it. You can have one if you want it.
Go. Have you had one today?
Yeah, he's had his today. Go ahead and open it. What you'll find is a soft gel, at least it's fat soluble. It is fat soluble. It does come in drops as well. And that bottle that I'm passing around has 2,000, it's in 2,000 IUs. There are 360 tablets in that bottle. That's a whole year's supply at 2,000. It cost me $15. A whole year's supply. I think I used VitaCost last time. What I usually do is my engine, you know, whatever engine you're using, Google or whatever, and look for vitamin D, VITD, soft gel. And you'll be surprised at what you can find. Now, the drops come in a little tiny bottle about like this, and we're talking about, you know, 2,000 per drop. And that cost me $18 for a whole year's supply. We're talking about tiny amounts of money compared to the value. Now, it is really shocking to me as I look at what 2,000 is. 2,000 IUs is actually only 50 micrograms. We're talking about tiny amounts. But God has given us that as something that will help our bodies. And what he gave us was the sun to help our bodies. And we think that the sun sometimes is it's a bad guy. And it really isn't. I will suggest to you that you probably ought to check with your doctor and get that level. One other thing I want to say, and that is we have had some literature, and if you Google or look at PubMed, you'll find all kinds of literature on vitamin D. Some mavericks have suggested maybe one of these days we'll suggest high doses of vitamin D to get rid of the colds and flu. Forget C. C never really was supported. But what we have seen, and they're suggesting as high as 2,000 IU per kilogram of body weight. That's a pretty lot. That's a lot. But I have tried it on my family. My husband can testify that I gave them 80,000 a day for 3 days. And what it does is it hits that macrophage to produce those natural antibiotics, and you'll be shocked to see what happens. Fantastic. All right. Now, that is testimonial, okay? That's not evidence. All right. The other one I want to mention while Story is coming downstairs is that of omega-3 fatty acids. At this moment in history, the only place we know to get the DHA part of omega-3, and there are two of them, it's either from fish or from algae. Algae. There's a certain kind of algae. Algal oil. Yeah. And that's the vegetarian form. This product has been shown, DHA has been shown to be so impressive, it's provocative. Let's put it that way. It isn't quite high enough to be evidence. It's very provocative. And by that I mean, it is so provocative that in the United States, this has been shown to be important for brain growth, for nerve development, and we have added it to prenatal vitamins, and we have added it to baby formula. It is that important. There may be some relationships, and this is not evidence yet, there may be relationships between ADHD and lack of DHA during these times. There was one study done in Hungary that was duplicated in the Netherlands. This is about adults. And these guys were in prison. They gave one set the omega-3 DHA and the other set the control. And what they found was that the prisoners that received the omega-3 were calmer, got along easier, and had less offenses. That was duplicated. Okay? The other piece of information that I think is interesting, and a lot of it, I didn't know it, and I should have, and that is that our brains are 60% fat, and 14% of that fat is DHA. And they tell us that is dependent on diet. So if we're not getting our DHA one way, we probably ought to consider what the options are. What we know so far, we've thought so far that what the ALA, the omega-3 potential in plant foods would make the omega-3s. You'll even see it on the flaxseed bottles and so forth, you know, omega-3. Well, what happens is it'll make the EPA, but there's very little DHA made, and that's the one I'm concerned about. My time is up, I'll bet you. I do want to say, if you're going to buy a supplement of fish oil, be aware that the front of the label that says 1,200 milligrams is only the amount of fish oil. And that you'll see in the middle here, fish oil, if you take 2,400 milligrams of fish oil, that's two tablets, it will have 720 milligrams of EPA plus DHA. So if your doctor tells you, I want you to take 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA, that means three tablets a day. All right? Not everybody understands that. This is Expectra. It is a DHA supplement used by many pregnant women. And then this Diva is another one. And so is this one. B12, you've heard about B12. I tell you, it is absolutely essential. It is absolutely essential. And I have heard personal stories of people who have actually lost their ability. One woman who lost her ability to be a Bible worker because she stopped being able to remember. And that happened within 3 months from the time that she stopped eating anything that had B12.
You mean this B12?
I'm sorry. One more.
Thank you.
I apologize. Yeah, B12. When she started thinking about, what's different? She had to stop work. What's different about this? She said, you know what? Someone came through and told me I should not eat any milk or eggs, and I stopped. I've been only eating plant foods. I don't have any. And realized that she did not have those foods. Didn't really know what the nutrient was. And if I had time, I would tell you the stories of the Cress or Dr. Benham can. Dr. Hokum can. Iron is important. I did my doctorate research in iron absorption in vegetarians. Iron deficiency does not follow the vegetarian diet. Okay, that's kind of the bottom line. We used to think, you know, if you start a vegetarian diet, you're going to be iron deficient. That is not true. What I found with the women at both Union College and University of Nebraska was that iron stores and anemia was much more related to menstrual loss than anything else. Choline, this is the one that is going to be the future question. It is a methyl donor. And just to put a few things in the back of your mind to think about in the future, there appears to be something about methyl donors and how the Lord has made these so that they're usable and transport nutrients. And I don't know exactly how that works because I'm not a chemist, even though I took chemistry. So just look for choline in the future. I think we're going to find that it's more in need than we ever thought. Thank you so much for the invitation. And if you have any questions, why, you can corner me.